difficult days, and there will be some more to come. But we thank the Lord for promising us that we wouldn't have to face our struggles alone. Amen. We thank Reverend Williamson for leading us in prayer, to minister briefly to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is good for us to be here. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. And as we continue to challenge you during this stewardship month, amen, we like to direct your attention to the scripture that is printed in your bulletin for your consideration today. Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 30. If you have that, say amen.
Amen.
And it reads, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him. And now he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so when with him at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Amen. I want to talk to you today about your past, present, and future. Amen. Your past, present, and future. Again, we emphasize that this is stewardship month. But stewardship is not a monthly thing. It's something that we are always be. And that is wise stewards. Amen? But we just want to always start out our year pointing you in the direction that we believe God would have you and us to go, and that is to be faithful, to be good stewards. I said to you on last week, amen, don't be making promises that I'm going to do better or be better. Just say I'm going to do what I suppose to do. Is that all right? Amen. Your past, present, and future. There are three dimensions of time: the past, the present, and the future. And no matter how gifted or skilled you are, you cannot experience all three dimensions at the same time. My past is only my past. Amen. My past is only my presence when I'm experiencing it. My present can only be experienced right now. And any look forward is simply a projection. Is that right? My future is eternally before me. And when I catch up to it, it becomes my present. And ultimately, it becomes my past. My past is, as they say, set in stone. I can't change it, recolor it, or revise it. I may try to explain away portions of it, but it won't change anything. Is that right? I may celebrate it, but it won't make me better. I may try to shield myself from some of the deep wounds that I experienced in the past and pains and troubles in my past, but my past is my past. Amen? It's irrevocable and irretrievable. It cannot be altered in any way, shape, or form. It is my past. My present is right now. And no matter what happened in my life in the past or what will happen in my future, I can only live in the season of the here and now. Is that right? My present is influenced by my past. I can't throw away the bad and keep all the good. I know that we wish that we could do that. Amen. But what we are, amen, we are a sum total of our past decisions. Is that right? Amen. All that has happened to me in the past, educationally, financially, and socially, these things may affect my present. Amen.
Amen.
And even though we can't change the past, I submit to you that we can learn from it. Is that right? We can learn from what we have already gone through. But my future is completely unknown to me. Now, I can make plans for my future, but my future is never certain. Amen. We can make projections, we can make resolutions, we can have desires and dreams, but sometimes that don't come to fruition. I may say I'll see you soon, but I really don't know for sure. Is that right? I believe it was James that said, don't say amen on tomorrow, we're going to go here or go there.
Yeah, yeah.
But say on tomorrow, if it's the Lord's week, we would do this or we will do that. I can put off till tomorrow, but tomorrow may never come. Is that right?
That's right.
I can expect a paycheck on Friday, but my week may end on Thursday. Help me, Holy Ghost. The truth is that none of us knows for certain what will happen in the future. Am I talking to anybody? The only part of our future that's certain is where we will spend eternity. Help me, Holy Ghost. That's one thing for certain. Amen. If you saved, you're going to spend eternity with the Lord. If you are unsaved, you're going to spend eternity separated from Him. That is a certainty. Help me, Lord. When this earthly house can no longer provide protection and covering for my soul, because of my confessed faith in the Lord, when my soul is absent from the body, the Bible says it will be present with the Lord. Amen, amen. You can't live in the past, present, and future all at the same time. But guess what? I got news for you. God can live in all three dimensions at the same time, because He's omniscient, which means He's all-knowing. God has in His arsenal something that none of us possess, and that is the ability to stand in your presence, look at your past and your future, preacher at the same time. Help me, Lord. Amen. And no matter how your past reputation, amen, and present circumstance appear, God sees your future. He sees your future, and your future, brothers and sisters, I come to encourage you today, is much brighter than your past and your present. And since you can't change what has already happened, and you have no choice but to live in the present, it makes sense to trust God for your future. Amen, lights and walls. Trust Him. Because He knows where the danger lies. Is that right? He knows what's coming around the corner. He knows what's down the road. So trust Him with your future. In our text, Saul, amen, has begun to walk in his new life as Paul, a believer. A new believer doesn't come out of the gate as a seasoned believer. You do know that, don't you? Amen. You wasn't born on fire for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Some of you came from some dark places. Amen. You came out of some stuff that you don't want nobody else to know about. You done some things you hope would never surface. Amen. So we didn't come here born on fire for the Lord. Matter of fact, we came here the wrong way, but we got here the only way. We were born in sin, and Satan did iniquity in sin. Did our mothers conceive us? But a time came when we accepted the Lord, and all things became new. All things were passed away. Help me, Lord. A new believer has to go through some spiritual prerequisites of humility, learning, and the Word of God. Learning how to pray, learning the importance of fellowship, learning the responsibility of mentorship, learning the importance of fellowship, learning the responsibility, amen, and the importance of biblical principles in order to become a full and mature believer. You didn't come here knowing everything. But you had to learn. Is that right? The new believer's goal, amen, is not to get rich, but to get right. Help me, Holy. Y'all missed out. Amen. I know you think it's all about what you're going to get. Amen. I know you're focused in on the prosperity gospel. Amen. I know you're focused in on that the Lord don't want you to be a borrower. Amen. I know you're focused in on the fact that you're not supposed to be the tail but the head. But I want you to know something even more important than that is that God wants you to get right. Help me, Holy Ghost. Get right. And let's go home. Amen. We are on a journey toward maturity to make our Savior proud and pleased. Now, Paul is living in the present while trying to overcome his past. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're trying to get away from the stuff you used to do and the folk you used to hang out with. You're trying to shed that reputation that you used to have. Amen. But it always seemed to creep up. But he has escaped from the threats of those who would do him harm at Damascus. And when he was last publicly seen, he was scurried away in a basket that doubled as a life preserver. Now he's made his journey from Damascus to the holy city of Jerusalem. We don't know if he made it there by caravan, hitched a ride on a donkey, rode a camel or a horse, or walked 135 miles, but we all can agree that it took Saul some time to arrive in Jerusalem. There's much we can learn from Paul's past, present, and future. First, amen, as we move hurriedly, first, Paul's past. The weary Paul now returns to Jerusalem. He returns a new man. He is not the same man spiritually, intellectually, who left Jerusalem to go to Damascus. You remember Saul, he left the city as Saul the sinner. He now returns as Paul the saint. He left the city with a band of men. He now returns by himself. He left the city, amen, with hatred in his soul. He now returns with love in his heart. He left the city, amen, with a beast he fell from. But now he returns, amen, with a God who called on him. Can I get a witness here? When Paul returns, he greatly desires, amen, he wants to be a part of the apostolic enclave, amen, that comprises the early church, amen. He wanted to hang out and be around Christian folk. Is that all right? Amen. Those men, he wanted to join himself with those men who had seen the Lord, amen, who had been taught by the Lord, who had suffered with the Lord, and were now, amen, senior pastors of the Lord's church, amen. What one Saul wanted to hook up with, amen. He wanted, amen, to help turn the world around for Jesus, amen. But the problem was, the apostles, the scripture said, wanted nothing to do with Paul. They see only Saul, the Christian killer. You remember he was on his way there with, amen, affidavits and arrest warrants, amen, to arrest or kill anybody that called on the name of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? People in the presence often judge you by your past. Amen. Life. They not only judge you by your past, but they use it as a weapon. Amen. They set up their own Sanhedrin council and violate every principle of God's forgiveness in order to take sadistic delight in keeping you at bay. Amen. They fail to see the same grace they refuse to extend is the same grace they hope to receive. Oh, there are some folk, brothers and sisters, that would judge you, amen, by a standard that they can't even keep themselves. The Holy Ghost. Throw this out there as a footnote. Amen. One sure way to keep people from judging you by your past is to stop doing what you used to do. Is that all right? And we are folk crying about folk holding us to our past and judging us to our past. Won't give us a chance, but they have not exemplified any change. In their life, they still doing the same old stuff. They're going the same old places. They talking the same old way. There's nothing new about them, and yet they want us to forget about what they used to be. Well, stop being what you used to be. Folk won't hold your past against you. Tried to become a part of the apostles, and their reaction betrayed their reasons. First, they were afraid of him. And second, they did not believe that Paul had met Jesus on the road to Damascus. It's the same for some new Christians who are seeking acceptance. The seasoned saints of our church sometimes are afraid of them, and they don't believe that they met the Lord. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, a good acid test to use when you try to determine whether or not the Lord can save anybody is to look at your own life. Come on. Look at where you came from. Look at what you used to do. Look at what you used to be. Look at how you used to talk. But the Lord saved you. Oh, yeah. Let he can save you. Whoever he wants to save. Amen. That was an illustration that I read. Amen. A man named Craig was a victim of bullying when he was in high school, and the big guy that bullied him was named Alvin and threatened him every day. On more than one occasion, amen, he beat him, he jumped on him, amen. He just treated him bad. And years later, while in the grocery store buying groceries, Craig saw Alvin. It scared him to death, amen. His phobia kicked in. He ducked through the aisles trying to avoid Alvin while gathering up all his little groceries, amen. And then when he got in the checkout line, that's when Alvin caught up to him. He said, "Hey, Craig, is that you?" Craig slowly turned around cautiously, remembering what Alvin had done to him. And Alvin said, "Man, you remember when I used to beat you up?" Alvin went on to say, "Listen, man, I'm sorry. My life has changed. I've never been happier. Amen. I invited the Lord into my life. Can I pay for your groceries?" Ain't God all right? Craig says, "Sure. Thank you." But his phobia walked right out the door with him with his free groceries. He was still holding Alvin accountable for his past, even though God had changed his life. If God done change, if God done save you, who are we to say otherwise? Paul was held accountable by men who had no right to judge him. Peter denied him. You remember, he cursed and denied the Lord. Thomas doubted him. Judas betrayed him. The disciples had no right to hold him accountable for his past. But that's what they did. Sounds like some church folk, don't it? Amen. Likes and wrongs. Alcoholics, former adulterers, former gossips, amen, former liars, former thieves, former addicts, former sinners who fessed up to their own mess up. And thank God, amen, God forgave them, cleansed them, and they think God won't do the same thing. Some of us. That's what Paul said. Such was some of us. When we go to judging folk and looking down at them, amen, and treating them, amen, like they don't belong. Remember, such was some of us. Amen. You ought to tell somebody, "I see Jesus in you. Help me, Lord." Second, there was Paul's presence. Amen. Paul's presence. The apostles don't believe Paul. But Barnabas, a young Levite of Cyprus, amen, he believed Paul and had remarkable powers of exhortation and ministering consolation to the afflicted. A man who gave all his worldly substance and strength and influence to spread the gospel. This man, Barnabas, stood with Saul, stood with Paul. Everybody at some point needs a Barnabas in their life. Is that all right? The son of consolation, amen. Sometimes we need somebody to go along beside us, amen, to assure other believers that the Lord has truly transpired, amen, and changed in this individual's life. So he stood with Saul and testified of his conversion. Amen. And every believer, every new believer, amen, you need somebody like that. You need someone who believes in your new faith in Christ. Someone who is ready to accept your confession of faith and stand with you in the face of doubters. Your Barnabas will, amen, keep you connected. We may call it an accountability partner, amen. They will keep you grounded and keep you growing. You need a spiritual hookup who won't mess you up. Is that all right? If you intend to do anything well for Christ, you've got to hang out with the people who are where you want to be. Is that all right? If you really want to grow strong in the Lord, some friends you got to leave behind. Is that all right? Some relationships you got to leave behind. Amen. I hear what you're thinking. I hear what you're saying. Well, the Lord hung out with sinners too. Well, you ain't the Lord. Is that all right? Amen. You mess around hanging out with the wrong folk and end up back where you started from. But you need a Barnabas who will authenticate your faith and lead you down the path to perfection. We see his past, his present, and there, that was Paul's future. After Barnabas spoke up for Paul, before the 12 apostles as a mediator, the scripture declared that Paul was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. In other words, finally Paul was fully accepted into the apostolic circle and was now a witness for Christ. Of course, we know Paul's future because we can read it in the Word of God. But Paul knew it as his present. And he had no idea where his future was going to take him. He had no idea that he would be the single most effective witness for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He simply had a testimony to tell. You and I are in the same boat as Paul. Nobody here knows what God is going to do in our future. We have no idea how many sinners will be saved by the word of our mouth. We don't know if we will save thousands or just one. Help me, Holy Ghost. But God knows about it. Amen. There was a congregational church in Mount Vernon in 1855. A young man confessed Christ. Amen. And after confession, he applied for membership. His conversion was examined. Amen. The story said by a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball, whose recommendation to Pastor Kirk read, after reviewing the candidate, he said, "I can truly say, and it's saying it, I magnify the infinite grace of God has bestowed upon him, that I've seen few persons whose minds were spiritually darker than was his when he came into my Sunday school class. I think the committee of the Mount Vernon Church seldom met an applicant for membership more unlikely." I say more unlikely ever to become a Christian of clear and decided views of the gospel. Still less to feel any extended influence of public usefulness. Now that's what it read. Basically he said he ain't no good. He can't make no impact. Amen. On our church or on people. Well, that was some indictment. Imagine accepting Christ and being told you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, the young man name who we're talking about is Dwight L. Moody. He became a well-renowned evangelist and teacher, founder of the Northfield Mount Hermon School of Northfield, Massachusetts, the Moody Bible Institute and Moody Publishers. And even when the Great Chicago Fire destroyed his church and everything in it except his Bible, Reverend Moody held on to his faith, and his church was rebuilt within 3 months. Ain't God all right? Aren't you glad that when other folks say you can't, God says that you can? Help me, Holy Ghost. Maybe, amen, some people don't think you, amen, would ever sing in church. Maybe some people didn't think you would be able to teach a class. Maybe some folk didn't think that you would ever preach the gospel. Maybe some folk didn't think that you would ever lead a public prayer or join the evangelism outreach team or work in the mission department. They're judging you by your past and not by your present. Keep serving the Lord, because only God knows your future. Help me, Holy Ghost. Each of us in here is a used to be. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Each of us is a used to be. Help me, Holy Ghost. We've all done some stupid things. Something crazy. Something sinful. Something, amen, salacious. Something toxic. Something unfathomable. Something ludicrous. Something unmentionable. But God knows our full potential. Only He knows if we would become a great witness, a faithful steward, a lover of God's people. Now, Paul traveled thousands of miles, speaking the bold conviction about the salvation offered through Jesus Christ. And there were many who rejected his message and sought to kill him, but he pressed on. Well, why did he press on? Because Clinton was not in his future. When Paul went out preaching throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria, the Bible said they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord. And the Holy Ghost was their comfort. And the number of disciples began to multiply. Now, as you peer into your own future, I want to leave you with some hope. As you look into the vast chambers of what lies ahead, allow me to encourage you. The Bible says that when Paul did what he was commanded by Christ to do, the Lord blessed his work. Ain't God all right? That's what it means to be a new believer. It means that when God is glorified, you will be edified. You are edified, lifted up, and when you submit to the perfect obedience out of belief, when you obey the Holy Ghost, He will have His way. Well, what's in your future? I'm here because God is faithful to His word. He has reshaped me, remolded me into His own image. He taught me how to deal with my past, to live in my present, and hope for my future. Why are you here? If you're here because you want to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to prophetically peek into your future. I see someone better than you are right now. I see someone rising to meet the challenge of perfection. I see someone learning to trust in God. I see someone learning to lean on Jesus. In the future, I see God's church being multiplied. It's not multiplied because of my past or our present.
multiplied by the one who knocked Saul from his beast of burden and renamed him Paul. It's multiplied by the one who was born in a manger, baptized in the river, preached in the city, arrested in the guard, tried in the court, sentenced in the night, died on the cross, buried in a barren tomb, and then early Sunday morning, he got up. Your future is in his hand. Is that all right? That's why I see a better you. Because of what the Lord is capable of doing in you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
His record is good.
Yes, sir.
He's taking a whole lot of bad folk and turn them into good. Is that right? Look at his track record. He can save sinners from the uttermost to the government. Is that all right? Look at us. He changed our lives. He has made us brand new. Is that all right? I see a better you. I see a better future. I know we're living in dark days. Craziness everywhere, and I know we have our ups and our downs. But with God, things will be better. Is that all right? You will be strong with God. With God, you can stand up to adversity. Is that all right? With God, we can trust in Him. And not in me. And because God has never let us down, I'm confident in a better future if we walk with the Lord. Is that all right? Now you can go about doing your own thing, and you can end up your own way. But with God, I am confident that we can and will be successful.
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Confident.
Yes.
That we can be more than overcomers.
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Not just survive,
yes,
but overcome. Wouldn't you rather be an overcomer,
yes,
than just merely a survivor?
Yes.
Overcome. You can overcome with God. Your future is bright. Don't let nobody else tell you that. Don't let the devil slip up on you and whisper in your ear and say, I told you, you ain't about nothing. Don't let the devil tell you that if the Lord really loved you, then this stuff wouldn't be happening in your life. He's a liar. Don't let him tell you that. Trust in God. Wherever you go, trust in Him, and you are sure of a better future. Amen. If you have not been walking with Him, the door of the church is open. If you have not been walking with Him in the past, today is a mighty good day to start walking with the Lord. Amen. If you just been playing around, and you really been trying to test and tempt God, you ought to stop that today. Because God is not to be played with. And just because you made it through last year, there's no guarantee you're going to make it through this year. If you've been playing with God. What you need to understand is why you was acting the way you were acting, why you were acting contrary, amen, why you were acting foolish, amen. God's grace, He showered upon you. And He kept you in spite of you. And if you know you fall into that category, today. Give him your heart. Give him your life. And say, Lord, from this day forth, I'm moving on with you on my side. I'm moving on with you in my heart. I'm tired of doing it my own way. I tried it my own way and I failed. But, but Lord, I'm sure that if I trust in you, that my future will be secure. That my future will be successful. Is that all right? And I too can go forth and tell a dying world that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. If you're here, this is for you.
I don't know about tomorrow.
Come on.
From day to day, I don't borrow from its sunshine, for it's time.
Listen. about tomorrow. I don't see them.